I think the Epistle of Romans, Paul's Epistle to the Romans, chapter 8, and I read verse 20. So Romans chapter 8 and verse 20. For the creature was made subject to vanity, not willingly, but by reason of him who had subjected the same in hope. And I'm thinking this morning is to ask the question, what has happened to our world? What has happened? It is worth knowing, my dear friends, because it would definitely shape how you live and behave yourself in this world. What has happened? The preceding command of Romans 4 women who need this, I say, they're not acting, we are seeing. They're not acting. It's obvious to everybody that there are things here that we don't understand. There are all manner of troubles, all manner of difficulties, and we wish that our things were better than we see them now, but they are not so. What has happened? What has happened to our world? It's worth knowing it, isn't it? And it will be of help to you, I'm sure. And it also helps you to know what we expect. What is it that you can expect in this world? And I strongly believe that it is particularly helpful for the young person. You are growing up. You have all kinds of ambition before you. You are dreaming of all manner of things. What can you really expect? You are a young person. And you are doing in our white dream. Now, as a listen, I can say, dear, I'm Kasa, no bit me do we need to so. Say a bit to me, and this is a very helpful text. It's a bit, if you begin to understand it, it's a bit sad, but at the same time, it's so informative. So it tells us so much that you see the kindness of God in that. God letting us know what has happened so that we can know what to expect. And so look at the text again, because I'll try to explain that. For the creature was made subject to vanity, not willingly, but by reason of him who has subjected the same in hope. The text is simply saying, the creature, everything that has been made, everything, every object, including ourselves, that have been made, have been subjected, have been put under vanity, emptiness, futility, meaninglessness. Someone, and we'll come to that, it is God, and we'll come to why he does, why he did that, he's put this creation under emptiness, futility, nothingness. God had put the entire creation under that. For the creature was made subject, it's been put there in such a way that it cannot release itself. It's permanently stuck there. It cannot find any way of escape. And this is what has happened. For the creature was made subject to vanity, not willingly, not because the creation itself said, well, puts me in that state. Not that at all, but by reason of him, there's a God who did that for a reason. He had a purpose in mind. Something that had happened, and he did that for a purpose. And we'll also try and grasp that. So, not willingly, but by reason of him who had subjected the same in hope. Though he subjected things to vanity and emptiness, and yet he sets out hope. Hope out there. What is that hope? And that's the kind of things we want to think about. So you see that, you can see almost the three aspects of the text, isn't it? You see the creation's vanity, you see him, the God who did it, who did that, and then the hope that for which he did that. So you can see that clearly there in the verse, can't you? Yakase, sir, Pastor Yakase, Yankopon, or the Abodi Nina Ashe, Ejinjan de Ase. Vanity, we can say, yes, sir. Or the according, you know, actually, they are giant, they are, we can say, if I saw the acronym, so I see it. Now, yes, sir, abodian or pesa, in here. When you're a coupon one, or yes, sir, it sounds no war, sir, but I say. Or they know a shirt, say, ginger, you know, I say. And let me, that's what will be on one cassa or one white dream. And you see, when they want to say, yes, I'm going to work a family and send a person here come on someone. If you come back and say, that body on a shit, it changes the ass, you know. And then say, you're going to go on, you know, son. And then you say, you're going to go on, and then you're going to go on. Oyesano. Tesma Nidisan Yesa. So you know creation is under present vanity. Says the scripture. What does that mean? It means that this world as it is, and you and I, being members of that creation, God has put us under a sense of vanity. He set out our lives and all that we do here that eventually they will come to nothing. Everything will eventually be seen as pointless. Not only that, but also that the things that surround us will not answer to the purposes for which we desire always. In His mercy, a number of things will go on nice and well for us, but there will be so many times also when how we desire things to go, they wouldn't go that way. And this is to be expected. It is God who has put that there. And you must bear that in mind. And in verse 21, Apostle Paul even calls it a bondage of corruption. Look at 21. Because the creature itself also shall be delivered from the bondage of corruption. That's its present state. It will one day be delivered, I'll come to that. But it's in a bondage of corruption. It's bound by things that die, things that waste, things that eventually corrupt. God has bound creation, the entire creature, including ourselves, to that. Nyankopon, if you are bodying in a asham proyer cra as yet, so that then you know, if you po ewan proyem, and verse 22, Apostle Paul uses even a more stronger picture. For we know that the whole creation groaneth and travaileth in pain together until now. Or draw with the illustration of a mother who is expecting a child. The mother's time to give birth has come, and she's in pain. She has this discomfort and is screaming. Desire that the time of labor comes and passes, so she has a child, or something like that, and she goes through that pain. And Apostle Paul said, creation is like that. There will always be pain here. Always groaning and grief here. God has put the creation under this kind of condition. So you see, it's God Himself who did it. And I'll come to that shortly. So young persons, what should be expectations? Well, you set out in life, right? You are dreaming of all these wonderful, wonderful things. Well, in the mercy of God, a number of things will go nicely for you. And you will love them, and hopefully you'll be thankful for them. But bear this in mind. This is the reality that Almighty God Himself teaches us. There will be pain and trouble. There will be disappointments. There will be death. There will be griefs. There will be injustices. These things you would encounter them. You will make contribution to these very things, and some of them will hit you too. There will be unfairness and things like those. In this world, God has set this creation to that. Nyankopon ejesa body amasan yome intisani asimininda kwense ube sonyome yeye enyome mo wichini nsua diya mevi mremi kra na wetete san yome espesa womba nyankopon na wejenesa. That's the reason why we have the troubles here, and we will continue to have them and eventually die. That will be our final end, all of us, isn't it? And this will not be, and the world will come to its end, not by kind of an accident, nuclear accident or something, but by the act of Almighty God to bring it to its very end. So, my dear friends, my question to you will be this. What would you be hoping in this world? What would you spend your years doing? Would you, as it were, gather your treasures into a sinking ship? Is that what you want to live your life? Is that all you have? Only this world and what you can get and gain and enjoy? It's a dying world. So it is. It's a perishing world. It's empty. You will eventually come out and say, so what have I done? What have I done with my life? Sadly so, isn't it? I mean, your brother, yeah. It's you, probably because a dear and we know a relation. not myself, but somebody close to us, there was a relation. This man really did, in terms of life, he did quite well. I think he was a chief accountant or something, auditor or something like that, in one of these the big government institutions or some of these huge private firms. And he had a number of property and things like this. And he had a number of children. Also, there was nothing wrong in these things, I have to tell you. Nothing wrong in wanting to make sure that you make provision for yourself. You don't live independent upon others. You don't want to be a burden upon others. These things are a responsibility we should be pursuing. They are right. But, from this man's life, when he grew old and he was sick, evidently he was going to die. And so they wanted to call some of his children to him so that he may speak to them and perhaps find a word or something like that. And to everybody's surprise, he didn't want to see any child. He said, take them all away. And then they wanted to at least ask him, okay, so what do we do with that property? He said, don't mention any property. He's become so alarmed that even property. Didn't even mention that. And everybody saw he simply didn't want to think about anything. Everything seemed to frustrate him. Because he wasn't a believer. He wasn't a Christian. Well, his ship is sinking. And that's all he had. And you could see sometimes we can see that when our lives are rolling on. We begin to see that our lives are really sinking. And all we have is in this sinking ship. And we have nothing else. We have nothing else. Friends, this is the challenge to young persons. As I said, you have to seek to live a responsible life, care for yourself, and make provision for yourself. These are correct. As we always say, you should never be driven by them. They should not be your chief ambition, your most absorbing interest. There's something far higher, something far nobler than that. And you must discover that. And that's why Apostle Paul was writing this, to show that this world, this creation in which we live, in which we may have some things to enjoy here and there, is actually like a sinking ship. And God is so designed it that way. And I'll come to the reason shortly. And that's what it is. So that that would be very unwise. Now, we said it is God who did this. Almighty God himself, look at the text, he says it. For the creature was made man subject to vanity, not willingly, but by reason of him. Someone did it. And this is Almighty God. So it's not Satan. Some people think that Satan. It's Satan. I've heard that before. You know, this world should have been a nice place. Only Satan did it. Have you seen it? A poster in town. I think it's all over the place. And in a few places, even from Achimota Road coming, you can see there, there's a preacher who is going to speak about deathlessness. I don't know what he's going to say. I don't know. Perhaps he's using as a kind of a bait for people to be listening to something. I don't know. But if he really means what is there. And under that he says that death is abnormal. Well, I scratched my head, and so I will not go to that conference, whatever, I'm sure of that. But I really wish I could hear what he has to say about that. Because, you see, if people don't take God seriously, it's easy for them to be fooled by the superficial reading of Scripture. For example, the Lord Jesus Christ, he that believes in me shall never die. I don't hope he's going to say things like that. So, the Lord Jesus Christ came down so that you never die. Sometimes God surprises us. Please, I really wish this man would, please forgive me. I don't know him or anything like that. But sometimes God surprises us. Before we realize, the man himself dies or something like this. Anyway, but the Lord is wise. He knows the best way to handle His own truth, so we can't suggest things to Him. Anyway, but the point is that some people think of it as if the devil who did it. So if we're powerful enough and had faith enough, we can go and claim it back from the devil. If you imagine yourself on Sunday morning, we are 13. So we should not go pray in here for sano. Then when we are say, "I call your baby at 13 and you swear and you can't come," what did he say? Obi cry for your funo up awa na kaya sam sa brentu no jina so shejuma na kaya sam ya ke kahuna aden nyankopon wan ye ne say you abon sam no ye ne sa ene be bi sa se wan no ye shofuo e we bi asis nyankopon sa abon sam. Who ask who is the Lord and sovereign over this world, Satan or God? No, Apostle Paul tells us it is God who did that. Why did he do that? He did that because sin entered the world. We sinned. We rebelled against him. We thought we were wiser than him. Man became proud, self-confident. He believed himself. He would listen to anyone else apart from Almighty God. Don't you see the same traits everywhere? We will listen to anyone else except Almighty God. If some of the things we want to listen to happens to be close to something we want to listen, we will listen. But to say that distinctively, "I want to listen to the Lord alone," no, we don't. Because we believe ourselves. We believe someone else. We believe some ideas elsewhere. That's what our first parents did when they listened to Satan instead of Almighty God. And this has gone on up to the end. God is holy. The moment sin entered into his world, he could not deal with it with abundant showering of blessing. He has to punish it. And so because he's holy and perfect and pure. Nyankopon your crown crown to bring in prayer upon you know. Ne sense nyankopon or curiosity. So there's a kindness in this. If you can't just see, there's a kindness. Because you see, when sin entered into the world, we became corrupt. Things were bad. If Almighty God covered it up, that would have been unkindness. If somebody, I don't know whether you know this is done. I don't know about stores in Accra. But I had a young man years ago that was working in one of the stores in Cape Coast. Still a proper store around. I don't want to mention her name because they may be doing better now. They was working there and he said that sometimes they take some of the goods and then they actually change their expiry date. When it's expired, they simply erase it, put something there. Is this help? You're covering up something that is no longer healthy. If Almighty God should cover up and ignore sin, he would have been a God who is, as it were, offering us something which is unhealthy, poisonous, and yet letting us all think everything is okay. As it's part of his will telling us, look, things are bad. Look, this is a world. Look at what sin has done. Your disobedience, your rebellion, your pride. Look at what it's done. Look at what it's brought to the world. You see. So when you see some kind of calamity and trouble and pain, dear friends, stand in wonder and say, look at what my sin had contributed to. And every one of us have made a contribution to that. We all tell lies. We are all proud until the Lord converts us. We are all selfish and pursuing personal interests and things like this. That's all of us, my dear friends. As all of us collectively have made contribution to that. And this is God's way of telling us, look at what you've done and the consequence of that. Look at what you've done. And this is what you follow. Because sin has its consequences and we cannot run away from that. And so, this is God's way of announcing to us that there's something terribly wrong with us. We expect our Food and Drugs Authority to be able to alert us, isn't it? That some unwholesome food has gotten into the market. And to tell us perhaps where it is, so that we avoid the place. This is Almighty God, as we like playing the Food and Drugs Board's work, telling us, your world is a corrupt place now. It's a place ruined by sin. So that you see, not only will we be alarmed, we may be humbled and worried about our sinfulness. Unfortunately, we don't do that. Unfortunately, We don't grieve about even that sin. We continue in that.
I'm sure you've heard the statement, you cannot eat your cake and have it, isn't it? And here we are. We sin. We all sin. And we want a happy world. Look at how inconsistent we are. Here we are. We are all selfish. And we all want a world where there's kindness and an outgoingness and things like those. It's impossible. We have ruined it. And the Lord will let us know that this is the consequences of what we do. You see, Nyankopon or Yeni say, Nyankopon, we do, we are to say, Ye ye de ya, de ye ya, yin yin sua, de de, atiti, bray, ebeba. And now, on some or ye, Nyankopon, it sounds a bonny eba, we are say, and bray ya bonitia, Nyankopon. Nyankopon, non so your crown crown into own to me, and she be as no one bunny, and good bonny so. It sounds a chasse or ye be before. Now, your yen is so big, we are some young puno, bonny and soon son so, dear dear. And what quite business say, a try in ye, Mutu, a sons of Nyankopon of a catar so. In your business said, bonny, beg smut. In that what higher, you who know the insusan so cried, near Koswa. And to Nyankopon, Ankasa, no Yenesa. And to announce on one of Yenesa, Intina, where they are, say, no, they are. As far as this world is concerned, that's what it will be like. So, my dear friends, we look upon a vain world, and we look upon our sins also. Look at what we've done. Dear friends, are you concerned about how you live your life? I'm sorry for this illustration. You know, it is like our state in this country, Ghana. Corruption is gotten everywhere. That if it feels like if anybody wanted to do something right in a small corner, it becomes so insignificant and pointless that there's no encouragement to do it. And so, what happens is that everybody will eventually say, after all, even if I did it, it won't pay off. So let me just ignore it and go along with the stream and be corrupt also. But what people forget is that we're dealing with the Lord and our consequences. And we all bear that. And then, when we have small things, I'm sure, I know the politicians have a part to play as well, but when we have all small things, we say, well, Ghana is not a nice place. Let's go for a greener pasture. Let's go somewhere else. And of course, I'm sure if we were permitted, we'd take the corruption to that place as well. So here we are. Things are getting rotten. And we are all making contribution. And no one seems to care. There are consequences, my dear friends. There are personal consequences. There are national consequences. There is a worldwide consequences. What we're talking about is a worldwide one. But it starts with the individual ones, as well as the national, the family levels too. A sin should dwell in my heart. God will surely let there be all manner of calamity and trouble and difficulty in this world. If I continue in sinning against God, remember, the sins that I commit against God will have consequences too. They may seem not to be so for a while, but dear friend, don't deceive yourself. They will. Eventually, there will be some consequences. Even here on earth, there will be some consequences before the final time. Everything I do, everything I say, unless, of course, we'll come to that soon, unless I'm pardoned and I find mercy in the Lord Jesus Christ and His shed blood on Calvary washes me and changes me. Otherwise, everything I do will have consequences, my dear friends. So, friends, it's God who did that. And here is a challenge. Would you see what you've done and your sin and turn to the Lord and plead for mercy and cry to Him? Now, Apostle Paul speaks of a hope. Look at that passage there again. That'll be our last point. For the creature was made subject to vanity, not willingly, but by reason of Him who hath subjected the same in hope. It's really wonderful that the Lord subjected the creation to vanity, with a hope in mind. Nyankopon de abodie ehye ejenjem de ase. And so when you dance will be more. If things are corrupt, they are corrupt. If you throw it away, you throw it away. Who throws away a spoiled refrigerator and expects some good to come out of that? No, you don't expect that. You throw it away. You throw away spoiled fish and you expect it to be gone. Only Almighty God can do this. Nyankopon kono betume esase. The wagya aman proye no. Or cousins to say, or in Yidas will be over. And what's that hope? And Apostle Paul tells us here in verse 21, because the creature itself also shall be delivered from the bondage of corruption into the glorious liberty of the children of God. Those for whom God has designed this are his children, Christians. Those who have come to seek mercy in the Lord Jesus Christ. Those who once repented of sin and abandoned all righteousness in themselves and abandoned all self-confidence in themselves, without which they could never have come to Christ. They may have understood the gospel in their head, but they could never have truly trusted in Christ if they had any confidence in themselves. Apostle Paul tells us that we are those believers, he describes them in Philippians chapter 3. We are those who worship God in the spirit and have no confidence in the flesh. And so such ones came to Christ and they threw themselves upon his arm and asked him for mercy and pardon. They saw themselves as contributors to the corruption that is here and the troubles that are here. But they repented and abandoned all hopes in themselves and trusted only the Savior who died on the cross of Calvary, that his righteousness may be freely given to us so that we may be qualified to be children of God. And saying it as well, won't you and young couple say saying it as well? Hey, you want more from the name? We want Omo so ebuni se once one can enter we are say atetina dia wa hanu and so one ya enu ho no mo kuni se die omo ntini nyi da so bi omo wan ka se omo na omo betwe wadi Jesus Kristo nko ase onam dia no ye wo asendia no so no na yankopon de ne tune ne emma de bonya for se wo we mu ni yankopon emma. Now, what the Apostle Paul is saying is this: God has a blessing in mind for thee, and he will let the entire creation participate in that. In this sense, the created order. Because when he says that our hope is set up for his children, he excludes those who are not his children. But the entire creation, the world order, and what happens in it will all be changed. Look at the verse. Because the creature itself also shall be delivered from the bondage of corruption. That corruption that has bound it. The accidents, the troubles. God himself will deliver creation from that. Because it will partake of the blessing that God's children would enjoy. God's children would experience. My dear friends, you know those that are really significant in this world. Dear friends, we mean this seriously. We're not just saying it for sayings. You know those that are really significant in this world are those whose sins are forgiven them and have come to find the Lord Jesus Christ and have had their sins washed away and given a new heart, who have been brought to wholly rest all their hopes entirely on the Lord Jesus Christ, so that he alone is their Lord and their master, and they rejoice that it is so. We see that such persons rejoice that they cannot do what they want. They are happy to say, I cannot do what I want. My Lord is in heaven, and I am under his rule and government. These are the significant persons in the world, friends. For they are said, this corrupt, rotten, dying world will be delivered. For they are sick, it will be delivered. And so you see, this is the hope the Bible speaks about. Sing it as soon as you come and say, "Nyan kupon krofwe omo abalincheno." Won't even nyan kupon obegis hai yasle. We know one. Omo abe rani yasi Kristo inchen. No man deno abre bo atena bo muse. Wakuma omo tumi kase. Eya mi de pass mi tumi yedi mi ame fe. Eya wonde. Enye bedin ema won. They are so glad that Christ rules their lives. You know why this is important? I'm stressing this because I'm coming to one verse. They are so happy to say that I cannot be in charge of my affairs. Such persons are praying people who call upon the Lord sincerely, who do not trust in their own hearts. They want to cast all their matters to the Lord, so the Lord Himself will guide and bless them. And these persons, for their sake, God will deliver this world. And God will bring a new world. This is the hope. This world, the Lord will transform it. The Lord will, as it were, take it away in effect and bring a new world where dwells righteousness and peace and comfort and joy. And the Lord's people, His children, will be granted a new world, new heaven, and a new earth. That's the hope that is set for them. So, Nyankopon Krofwe, Nyankopon Dwayne was said, or the Savi Asifo from Ebamawan, the Asai and Yomenian Enya. Now, let me say, San Krofwe, San Nyankopon Krofwe, when you want, among any desa Nyankopon won't ever add it, among any Tilly and dear, among said your mother. No more, I want to say, Yam Copona or Danny Danny, my prayer for nothing. You know, until the meeting was sad. It says that, but you're kind, verse 20. I'm coming to verse 20 as I begin to close. Look at verse 20 because it gives us an amazing thing, an amazing blessing even now. Verse 20. And we know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are the called according to His purpose. Those whom He describes as called according to His purpose, the same as those He describes as the children of God. And you see, that hope is in the future, yes. One day, God will change this world. One day, God will transform this world and renew everything for His children. But even now, the person who is a child of God is far better off than the unbeliever in this corrupt world. We are far better off. Why? And that's the answer of the apostle in this. I don't mean that our lives are more easier, that we have no troubles, or that we have no challenges. That's what we mean at all. Because the Bible says it clearly. Even us also, he said that in our verse 20, even us who are believers also groan. We also feel the pain. We feel the disappointments. We feel the troubles in this world. But Apostle Paul insists, in spite of the troubles that Christians experience, the pain, the grief, and the troubles, we are better off. Why? And that's the verse. Because for us, if we're a child of God, God still works through the thing that seems difficult now, the thing that will seem troublesome now. God, Almighty God, who is all wise and all powerful, still works through it. Still weaves through the troubles, the very challenges, the tears, and the griefs. He works through that, and at the end of the day, the fruit is a blessing. The result. It's a blessing that for those who are the Lord. Yeah, yam copon dear no. Nyo yam copon ban empo yo we need also a sign we ask for frono ever bani dear. And so say po ye chefa e ye cry as in ya or say on your best suicide we are Men pinches in India teaching him family because on one account, verse 22 say, Young crying, young copper emmanuel, young so, verse 23 rather, young crying, young copper emmanuel, young so cry, you see a penny. In the young so your family, at a teeny, in swanny, a yawn, and yet a count, young see a family be. But yet, Ennanse yaddani abrabuna atira diabomo. Na enyen ya pese ye iranum ewo swolinti. Nyanko pondijman nem ninine mu ewe maye ye. Iti, well, quite this one. Obey Radi, there's no way you will be really hurt. When you are the Lord's child, you are not really hurt at all. The thing that may seem a pain now will eventually prove good. For example, it will make you a better person. It will improve your character. It will make you a more praying person. It will make you more less trusting of self and more trusting of the Lord. It will make you less trusting of this world and the system and ideas and opinions to be more trusting of that of God. And the more you trust that of God, greater is your peace, greater is your joy, greater is your contentment, and a sense of rest, you see. But think of the unbeliever. Think of the one who still governs his own life. You've not yielded your heart to the Savior. You are your own. You are your own boss. You decide what you want to do. You go where you want to go. You spend according to your own plan. You're your own. You don't even know what would happen. The things that by your own eyes you judge them to be wonderful today may turn out to be very disappointing. And sometimes they will make you worse off. Do you know something? We've come to this before. And the sad thing is, if you are not converted, you don't know this. If the Lord doesn't rule your heart, the more your circumstances in this world becomes better, the worse you become as a person. If the Lord doesn't rule your heart, if you begin to have more money, and the Lord isn't ruling your heart, the prouder you become, and the less sense of dependence on God you become. There's a feeling of a wonderful independence. No real sense that, oh, but I must call upon the Lord to help me. Oh, but I must call upon the Lord to guide my feet. Otherwise, I will go astray. There's nothing like that. I can't pay my way through. I have the contacts. I can't see the minister of what and what. And he will solve that problem. And so, the more self-confident you are, and the more confident you are, the more blinded you are to God. Well, yesterday in a weeknight meeting, our brother was presenting a nice lesson. And it's one of the things Apostle Paul said, that he was speaking to them about an emperor who became converted. And was reminding the children that the reason why we have to tell you this is this, in this world, God is purposed that usually the greater people are, the less likely they are to find the Lord. You know why? Their heads reel. Their heads are dazed. So they never really see themselves and who they really are. If you became a child of God, and God made you wealthy, and God made your circumstances easier, in His wisdom, He will leave a hole there, a thorn, to really cripple you from a sorrow in your own eyes. You see His wisdom? He will make sure He treats that child in such a way it never seems too important in His own eyes. And this is why Christians are happy to say, oh Lord, I am happy. I cannot do what I want. You rule and order my ways according to your wisdom. And so I ask you now, young person, if it is not the Lord who is ruling your life, which way would you go? If the world became better, you became worse for your soul. If it became worse for you, you became bitter. And it doesn't even speak against God. And so where do you go? Where do you go, friend? That's the most miserable state to fall in. Wherever you turn, God is out of sight. Because you will never find Him. Because something will block Him, as it were. Something will either harden or make you bitter or something like that. And so, my dear friends, so even now, this is the hope of the Christian. This is a corrupt and rough place. And yet Almighty God is so at work. If your heart is for Him, so that the things that happen, the bitter, the sweet, the disappointment, the happiness, they all are well woven together by his wise hand. So that at the end of the day you say, ah, it was good for me that the Lord treated me that way. It was good for me that the Lord let that happen. You may not see that now. Sometimes it takes time, but eventually it comes. And then you begin to realize how wise the Lord is. And over the years, this is the privilege of the Christian. Over the years, you become more satisfied with that. And you are so happy to say, let the Lord rule. Let his will go. Let his will be done. I'm sure it will work for my good. Even though now I shed tears and I don't understand, you will say it. You will certainly say it. Almighty God has designed it that way. David, which one would you choose? A life run by yourself? Yourself in charge? And you are alone? Your small mind governing you in such a vast world? Where eventually you will lose your soul because everything will block God out from view, as it were. Or you rather choose a life ruled and run by the Lord. And for that sake, whatever happens, whether bitter or sweet, would all contribute for your good. Here can say, Sir, won't come any radin someone. Yeah, you bet Danny wa brebo bian. Sisi ya wunye ni da so bia. And I'm also sir. Sisi wunye ni da so san se. Die besi bian. Ebe how. E piame nyome nina enye fine mao. Wuba. Chimu kan se. Wuba kwa ufwa wuba. Wan ye no in iso kwa. Ebe ba kumami mo. We are so terribly weak. And you're not close to us. What is my message? And you're my ambassador. Who be living with you? No one can say. No one can say. Be blaming God for you. And you are brave. Who be done the same? I can't walk on. One of you done the one brave. And the same. No. There no Christ ever told them that what is only certain now, if you've not yielded your life to Christ, is that you will get worse and worse. What the same be a counselor? And then I'm also a radiable attend. A young witch, son open. Apostle Paul said, and you're not serving your company, so on. But a coin, Nama, and this is your company, I didn't enough for fraud. A more one member. No, do not come. Since then, soon, Pono, dear, a total winina, or one Casabash shining in a numb sum of bread, but no one of my Acacia for was solenity. A moody afternoon, young upon solenity. Since then, Sissina, or no Abash shining in a set, a yellow so much in so cried down, pa. A chinbaka said, ah, a young man missing young copper messy. A sunset. The moment of memorization, a bim of Bema won't subang, aye, Fedia Kaho. Or Benjamin, if he are Rishimomo or one castle or no, and now Rishimomo would be our Simo, and now Rishimomo would name Pamu do a brosso, or Benjamin Efremo, or Bama Wesian Bruce, or Mobon Pie be Kaho, or Memorum Bruce, the one with that eradic crying a be Kaho, and naming album won't subang. I said, I can win in Uncle Ponyan's win a winning trim winter. Think you'd be rich, you know, or jive your sister from Mount Prime of Corson Poor, or Mobeba Ninchano. One day, she seemed prevail for some one. And now, man, so, or the thing you does so, meaning I'm on. I really, friends, believe me, I'm not just saying this as a preacher. When you think of this, you grieve so much for that young person things. I want to run my own life. I want to run my own life. I want to pursue that and get it and that, do that and that. You will be on your own. No Lord. No wise governor. You'll be on your own to take decisions. And though they may bring material benefits, they will hurt. they would have chosen not being Mary. If it were not one of our Bible studies, we can take a number of texts to prove this. They will hurt. Definitely. Certainly. They will hurt. Because it will cut you off from the Lord. And you will never find Him. You become so absorbed in the things of the world. And God will go farther and farther from you. Don't let that happen, friends. The wisest thing is a life yielded to the Lord. Come to Him, friends. Come as a sinner. Genuinely come in repentance. Yield your life to that Savior who shed His precious blood and died on the cross of Calvary, bearing that unspeakable agony and shame, that sinners like us may have communication, contact with God. It's such a marvelous thing. Can we, worthless worms, become children of God? Children of Almighty God? Oh, friends, these are beautiful passages in the book of Revelation, so that our prayers are like incense in the presence of God. When you go on your knees and are crying to God, if you like, permit my foolish illustration, it's almost as if Almighty God sets up to listen, to take it in, for Christ's sake. I, you, a worthless worm, dear friends, that's what the Lord Jesus Christ did when He paid the penalty for sin, so that we may become the children of God. Dear friends, only us have hope. Even now, we are better offerings than unbelievers. And then in the world to come, we'll be far, far, gloriously better off. Come, yield your life to the Savior, asking to have mercy upon you. Repent of sin. Abandon any trust in yourself. Otherwise, you will never trust Him. You will never genuinely trust Him. And you will never find forgiveness of sin and rest. Come, and you will have mercy. Let